Good afternoon. My name is Decep Ojukwu, and I'm a statistician with the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. I'd like to thank the APHA for accepting this abstract. I'd also like to thank Mrs. Kimberly Carter for allowing me to be such a part of this important study, and also to thank you for attending this session. The title of my presentation is Utilizing Community-Based Participatory Research Methods to Document Women's Health Issues in Prison. Thank you. For this presentation, there are no financial or off-label disclosures. And the purpose of this presentation is to provide you with the qualitative methodology that we used for the Invisible Bars project that Mrs. Kim Carter so powerfully delivered earlier. This study was actually a two-part, and so I'll present to you what we did with the focus groups. This project was funded in part by the Time for Change Foundation, the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health, the County of San Bernardino, and the California Endowment. Now, this particular presentation was made possible by the African American Health Institute of San Bernardino County. The full report, which we do have a copy here, and it's also available on the Time for Change website, was authored by Kim Carter and co-authored by myself and Lance Miller. There are many other contributors to this project. Of notable mention are Don Davidson, who is the warden of CIW, Larry Aaron, who is the lieutenant there, and Loma Linda University School of Public Health also had faculty who was involved with this project. Okay, there are three learning objectives for this presentation, essentially to look at a process of how to collect need assessment data for women in prison. Also, looking at the health needs of women in prison, not just overall, but based on their length of incarceration. And then lastly, looking at a method to actually content analyze all this data once it's collected. So to give a little bit of a background, again, this is a follow-up to the Invisible Bars project that we did. It's a cross-sectional study design where we used a mixed method approach looking at qualitative and quantitative. I know it sounds kind of scientific, but we wanted to make sure that we're actually validating what's really happening out there. So Kim presented to you what happened with the survey, which was the quantitative, and so I'll present to you what we did with the focus groups. There were three or four research questions, mainly looking at barriers to women while they're incarcerated and also after they're released, also looking at some of their health care issues, and also what are the risks to the public's health. So in terms of the actual methodology, the goal of the focus groups was basically to probe further into some of the issues that we saw coming out in the survey. So we went to the California Institution for Women, also called CIW, in Corona, California. And before actually conducting the focus groups, Mrs. Kim Carter got formal approval to be actually to come into the prison to do these focus groups. And she also got approval for the three statisticians, and I was one of them, to go in and do the focus groups. Now, we had two basic selection criteria. One was looking at the length of their sentence. And then secondly, for the first two groups only, the participants had to be residents of San Bernardino County. And then in getting participants to come to the focus groups, we basically had sign-up sheets. And so from there, participants were chosen on a first-come, first-served basis. So group A, we called the lifers. These were individuals who had current sentences of 18 or more years. And we had 17 participants in a focus group that was conducted July 20th, 2005, for about 2 hours. Group B we called the long-termers, and these were inmates who had current sentences of 3 to 10 years. We had, again, 17 participants. Focus group was conducted August 4th, 2005, and it lasted about an hour and a half. Then group C we called the short-termers, and these were women who had current sentences of 0 to 2 years, and they had a lot of recidivism. And we had 27 participants in this group conducted on August 18th for about 2 hours. Now, in all three focus groups, we had the same facilitator because we wanted to maintain consistency in the data collection. And then also, too, no tape recorders were actually allowed within the prison facility. So we had three trained statisticians to actually write down all the responses, and I was one of them. Quite a challenge, but definitely an experience in data collection, right? After each session, all three statisticians, we basically got together, cross-referenced our notes, make sure that we had everything complete, and then from there we developed a summary sheet of all the statements that were collected. The focus group questions were created by a statistician, and there were basically 18 relevant questions that were developed looking into barriers and resources. Now, not all 18 questions were used during the focus group. Now, what was really genius of the facilitator was that she basically was guided by the responses of the participants as to which questions to ask next. Now, this is just a listing of the 18 original questions that were developed. So they include such things as, what are the current resources or service, or where are they located? What are some of the challenges you face in securing a release date? What do you think is the reason you are back in prison now? And what are your expectations of your parole officer once you have been released? Now, once we collected all this data, such rich information, we went back and entered everything into Microsoft Excel and content analyzed everything using grounded theory to develop key themes. The units of analyses were phrase and sentence level. And then also, too, the themes were not mutually exclusive, meaning if there was a phrase or a wording or a sentence that could fall into more than one theme, we coded them into multiple themes as was appropriate. And then after doing all the coding, we developed statistics and developed pie charts to give a visual of what the data was saying. There were 18 emergent themes from the data, out of 138 total statements from all three groups. And the emergent themes were support services, finances, mental health, parole, medical health, housing, self-hindering behaviors, living environment, dental health, discrimination, education, employment, eligibility, child protective services, general health, prison environment, red tape, and vision care. Now, a lot of these things we've already been discussing, right? So some of these things were not new, but it was good to quantify it and actually get it in our analyses. This pie chart is a visual of pretty much how some of the themes were evenly distributed among all three groups. This one here is about self-hindering behavior. And self-hindering behavior is what we called lack of hope or lack of self-efficacy. And so here's a statement from a long-termer. This is an example of a statement that we use to code as self-hindering behavior. And as you can see, it's almost evenly distributed in all three groups. However, when you look at another theme like parole, it's not so evenly distributed. So when it came to parole, majority of those statements came from lifers, which makes sense, right? They've been in prison for a long time, many of them sentenced to life. So they're looking at parole issues of how can they get back into society and be rehabilitated. Now, what was interesting is that we did not have any comments from long-termers related to parole. Not so much of an issue for them, right? Now, another theme was red tape. Now, red tape, again, was more towards the lifers. Again, you could see the distribution, which does make sense. They've been in prison a long time. They've been through the system. They know the bureaucracy that's there, so they're able to speak on it. What was interesting is that we did not get any comments from the short-termers regarding red tape. Now, when looking at employment, again, it was not evenly distributed, but we see that mostly they pertain to short-termers, which does make sense. Again, they're in and out of prison very frequently, so when they get back into society, they want to get a good job. So employment was definitely some comments that came from them. So not just looking at analysis of the whole group, but we wanted to look at what are the needs specifically to each focus group based on their length of incarceration. So here's a listing of the top five emergent themes by group, and you can see that for the lifers, parole was number one. For the long-termers, support services. When they are in prison for 3 to 10 years, they've been out of society a long time, when they go back into society, they need those support services. And then for the short-termers, their number one priority was mental health. When we looked at, let me go back to that real quick. The only two themes that were common in all three focus groups were finances and support services. Now, the interesting thing is that although those two themes were common, you could see they're ranked differently. So you can see the importance of how they are to each group. So the findings of this particular study leads us to look at what are truly the needs of incarcerated women, and also not just knowing the needs, but tailoring it to them so that it's effective. So that we're looking at policies and practices related to parole. We're looking at support services and mental health. So when we look at all of these findings, our goal then is to develop resources and service delivery for this underserved population, and also overall reduce the rates of recidivism and improve the well-being of these women. Now, one organization who was already on the ground doing a lot of this work is the Time for Change Foundation in San Bernardino County. Here's just a brief list of some of their programs and interventions, such things as case management, alcohol and drug and mental health, job and health fairs. And as you can see, a lot of these things are kind of tailored to some of those themes that we saw coming out through the study. So our goal is hopefully if we can have more of these specific and focused interventions, then the goal is hopefully to get better outcomes. Thank you so much.
That's great. Thank you so much. Our final speaker is going to be Camille Edwards, who is from Planned Parenthood of Southeast Pennsylvania. Welcome.
Thank you.